Today's Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and 20 through 24. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture shall they feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. New Testament reading, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Scott. If you're comfortably able, please rise. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. A few years ago, maybe you remember this, there was a popular comedy on TV called The Good Place. The premise of the show was that all people are graded on their personal morality. And those who die with the highest score go to the good place. But if you don't make the grade, you go to the bad place. It wasn't intended to be taken seriously. It was a comedy. But the reason it worked as a comedy is because most people, even most Christians, agree with the premise that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That's why this passage from Matthew 25 is scary. If good people go to heaven, how good is good enough? What if you haven't fed enough hungry people, or clothed enough naked people, or welcomed enough strangers into your home? Have you been visiting enough prisoners? How do you know? How much is enough? Or what if you've never in your life visited a prisoner or welcomed a stranger? And even if you did welcome a stranger, did you welcome him warmly enough to get full credit? For almost all of us who read this passage about the sheep and the goats, and then we look at our own lives, it's pretty hard not to worry. If you're honest with yourself, you have to ask, have I done enough to be considered a sheep? Probably not. So, am I going to hell with the goats? So, what's the point of this frightening parable with the sheep and the goats? Is it to spur us into action to love our neighbors? You know, I think it's fair to say that most of us could use a little kick in the rear regarding loving our neighbors. But is that the point here? Let's take a look at this. First of all, who is this parable about? To answer that, look to see who's doing the action. Is it the sheep and the goats? No. It's Jesus who does all the work in this parable. Read it carefully. Later, not now. But read it carefully and you'll see that this parable is about Jesus. It's not about you. And in this parable, Jesus refers to himself by three different names, all of which come from the Old Testament. In verse 31, he refers to himself as the Son of Man, a glorious heavenly figure surrounded by legions of angels, first identified in Daniel 7. In verse 32, he refers to himself as a shepherd, a reference found many places, including Ezekiel 34, which Scott read, which describes Jesus the shepherd this way. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And finally, in verse 34, Jesus refers to himself as a king, appropriate on Christ the King Sunday. He refers to himself as a king, which is also common throughout Scripture. As king, Jesus invites his people, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the foundation of the world. All of this is good news. It's fantastic news. Jesus descending from heaven with the angels in all his glory, describing himself as a shepherd, compassionate and kind, promising the people the inheritance prepared for us from the very beginning of time. And then we come to the scary part. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And it goes on. This is scary because I don't remember doing those things. Maybe I did occasionally, but it seems like I didn't do enough. That's why it's important that you hear what I'm going to say next. As the people of Christ, as his sheep, we are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're called to respond to the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger and the naked and the sick and the prisoner. In fact, you could say that Christ resides in those who are in need. By responding to and loving those who are in need around us, we're responding to and loving God and our neighbors. And that's what we're called to do. But this parable is not about whether you've done enough to go to heaven or not. And all these activities do not determine if you're a sheep bound for heaven or a goat bound for hell. Well, how can I say that? Well, for one thing, there's a linguistic reason. The Greek word that's been translated for, as in for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, Greek language scholars point out that does not mean because you gave me something to eat, you go to heaven. And more generally, this parable is not about what you do. It's about what Christ has done for you. Christ does the action in this parable. And it says, he has prepared for you a kingdom. In fact, it was prepared for you way back when, since the foundation of the world. And why would you receive this kingdom of heaven if you don't deserve it and haven't earned it? Because you're the heir. You inherit the kingdom. You don't earn it by being a good person. In fact, you can't earn an inheritance. It's a gift, just like faith is a gift given to you, just like baptism is a gift given to you. And you know, it's a good thing that we don't have to earn the kingdom of heaven. Because Paul says in Romans 3, that no one is righteous. No, not one. And in Isaiah 64, the prophet says, even our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. If we had to earn the kingdom of heaven, everyone would fall short. No human being is capable of earning the kingdom of heaven. You know, maybe it sounds counterintuitive, but that's great news for you and me. Because we can respond to God out of gratitude, not fear. We can respond to the needs of the people around us with joy because God has responded to us. You don't have to be concerned about yourself. Why? Because you are a sheep and the good shepherd is taking care of you. You are an heir to the kingdom of God because you are a sheep. Not because you've earned it. And as a sheep, you are the recipient of great gifts, including mercy and love and forgiveness and eternal life. The good shepherd is taking care of you, including taking you to heaven. So what's the point of this parable with the sheep who do good deeds and the goats who don't? What's the real distinction between sheep and goats? It's motivation. Martin Luther once said that a man who walks by the Spirit, or you could say a man who's aware of his sin and at the same time aware of God's great mercy, his great mercy and compassion and forgiveness toward him, a man like that is like a happy drunk man wandering around doing good deeds and saying kind things to everyone, oblivious of his surroundings. He does good deeds out of the joy in his heart. And he's joyful because he's aware that he's forgiven and loved by God. And he's bound for heaven someday. He's a sheep. And so are you. The point is, you sheep, you lucky sheep, you've been given what you don't deserve. You've been forgiven of what you're guilty of. You're loved by God and bound for heaven. So celebrate. Celebrate by being careless with your kindness and extravagant with your love, just as God has done for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy to us who are sinful. Lord, we thank you that you have gifted us with faith, that you have baptized us into your family, and that we are sheep, not because we deserve to be sheep, but because you have appointed us sheep. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.